Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. With the Lord's help, perhaps we may be able to conclude a message I've been sharing on the presence of the Lord. How can we experience God's presence? Well, there's some lessons that David learned when he brought the Ark of God to the city of David. And, of course, we know under the Old Testament, the Ark was the literal symbol of the very presence of God. First of all, the thing that he learned, and all of Israel, that it's God's agenda, not man. There was tragedy that struck in the midst of celebration when Uzzah reached forth his hand to steady the ark, which was on a cart. The oxen stumbled, and lest it fall, he reached forth his hand. However, that sin of presumption cost him his life. And so we have to see that it has to be God's way. They weren't doing it God's way at all. They were traveling with the ark uncovered. Which was a sign of disrespect. There was a certain way that it needed to be covered when it was traveling. It was not to be carried upon a cart. There was no priest in charge of transport. It needed to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. And so we see that in every respect, they weren't doing anything. They didn't see God. They just did what they thought was a good thing to do. But God was teaching David and all of Israel some very important lessons, which we need to learn if we want to experience the presence of God. Haggai says that he's going to fill this latter house in the end days. It shall be greater than the former, and he would fill this house with glory. But to be able to experience his presence and his glory, we have to do it God's way. We cannot allow the sin of presumption to enter into our hearts and lives. We must have a fear of the Lord and a revelation of God's holiness. David had to have a revelation of God's power and holiness associated with the ark, because that ark represented the very presence of God. And he, just as we, have to have a sense of our own unworthiness. Think about this. How can a holy, sin-punishing God come to us? How can we live in fellowship with such purity and might? Look what David said in verse 9 of chapter 6, 2 Samuel. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" Well, we're going to see what happened in David's time. But thank God, in terms of us, Romans 5, 1 and 2 gives us an answer. Beloved, we have access by faith. Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Thank the Lord. "Through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Praise God. And so what's the next thing? What's the next lesson? Well, there's a time of waiting on God and learning His ways, learning to find out and seek His timing and His pleasure. And that's important. For us, it represents a time of prayer and seeking His face. And we see in the time of David, let me just read now the text. David would not remove the ark of the Lord, verse 10, unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite there 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Well, we see that Obed-Edom was a Levite whose house happened to be near where the disaster took place. And so he welcomes the ark, and it stays there for 3 months in his household. Obviously, he must have saw it was a struck dead, and he certainly perceived King David's fear of dealing with the ark. And yet, what does he do? He opens his house with a humble boldness, and to him, the ark is made the fragrance of life. The Obed-Edoms of David's time were porters of the tabernacle. They were Levitical musicians, and they took an active part in bringing the Ark to Jerusalem and afterwards in ministering before it. And so we see that Obed-Edom's blessing brought strength and faith to David. That's what happens, beloved, when we give God rightful place in our lives. Verse 12, and it was told David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went up and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And of course, at this point, they were doing it the right way. And it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, or when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David, with all the house of Israel, brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. What lessons can we learn? Well, we need to wait on the Lord. We need to learn his ways. And then there's personal responsibility and involvement. Numbers, the 7th chapter, verse 9, says that the sons of Kohath should bear the ark upon their shoulders. 1 Chronicles 15, 14, and 15 says, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel and bear the ark of God upon their shoulders as Moses commanded. So, beloved, Christ, like the ark, must be borne by those who have been separated unto him. In Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 15, the Lord spoke to Ananias of Saul, who was, of course, to become Paul, and he told his servant Ananias that he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And beloved, we are called. What was the purpose? Why did God ask that the ark be borne upon the shoulders of the priests? I believe it was a physical demonstration or representation, if you will, of the personal responsibility and individual involvement that each one of us have as priests of the Lord, that we carry the very presence of God with us. There's a phrase that is used in the Bible frequently called the burden of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, that word is used or rendered in such a way that it's that root word from which it's derived means to lift or to carry. And so it has two senses of actual burden and prophetic utterance. That second usage denotes simply something taken up solemnly upon the lips, both weighty in itself and weighty in its communication. And it is used not merely of human utterances, but always carries with it the suggestion of divine inspiration and communication. So they were to carry, the sons of Kohath were to carry and bear the ark upon their shoulders with staves. And then what we, again, we're looking at a progression here. What can we do to experience the presence of the Lord corporately as well as in our individual lives? Well, let's just take a look. What have we seen so far? That it has to be done God's way, not man's, that we must avoid at all costs the sin of presumption, for which Uzzah was sorely punished. And we must have, as David experienced, a fear of the Lord and a revelation of God's holiness. How we need that restored to the church, beloved. We need, so often I grieve, we come into church, it's like a social club. And you know, when I came to the Lord, it was in the 70s, in our church, in Brother Glass's sanctuary, he said, you know, if you want to talk, sure, we want a fellowship when we see our brothers and sisters at church, but do it outside. Don't do it in the sanctuary. He always was encouraging that people would come to the altar and pray. And, you know, I was in a church, this was a few years ago, a small church in Tracy. I was so touched because when you walked in, Everybody was praying. They were kneeling by their seats. You know, you don't see that a lot today. We need to wait on God, and we need to learn His ways, just as David did. Remember, the ark was placed in the house of Obed-Edom, and when God is given rightful place in our lives, well, He blesses. And we saw that the blessing that came to Obed-Edom's house brought faith and strength to David, and so they inquired of the Lord. They went to the law of the Lord. They discovered how the ark should be transported. And then we see that there was great rejoicing when they did bring it in. In verse 14, it says, David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And then it goes on to say, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window. She saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, and he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women and men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. And so we see, beloved, that we need to have wholehearted praise and worship. Psalm 30:11 and 12 says, Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Beloved, when we have God's presence, when there's a unity among God's people, there will be the blessings of prosperity, not just material abundance, but the spiritual blessings of joy and the very presence of God. Zechariah 2 and 5, this last scripture I'll share in closing, For I saith the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. What a beautiful promise. Praise God. Well, this, you know, isn't always good to hear the word of the Lord. Familiar stories we might be aware of, but there's always new things to learn. There's always things we need to remind ourselves of from the scripture. Thank you so much for joining me today. And as I bring this broadcast to a close, I invite you to please write and share your prayer needs. You can send an email or just drop a note to the address the announcer will give. I'm so grateful to UCM Partners. I thank you so much for listening, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we see what the Lord has for us. God bless you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.